Grace to you and peace in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Betsy Turner, and it is my joy to serve as the pastor at Stockbridge Presbyterian Church. This message is for Sunday, August the 16th, the 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and our 23rd Sunday of gathering in this way. Just a few calendar items I want to point out as we begin some new initiatives, even while we continue apart. We began this week a weekly Kids and Families time on Zoom. We're doing that Wednesday nights at 7, using the exact same Zoom link as for the 7:30 fellowship, and we had a great time with a couple of kids. We hope that kids and grandkids and any other little ones who are connected to Stockbridge Church will join us then. We also began our Let's Talk conversation about race and racism on Thursday night, and a wonderful conversation with a good group of folks. We will meet again on Thursday, August 27th at 7:30, again on Zoom. And it's not too late to join, so please let me know if you're interested in that so I can get you on the list and get you the material for that next meeting. And then coming up next week, we are adding Adult Sunday School by Zoom. Big thank you to Aaron Roberts for organizing this next Sunday at 10 a.m., again on Zoom. And that information will be coming out this week by email. So we look forward to even more occasions to gather together remotely. Now let us worship God. We begin with the hymn, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Would you pray with me? Holy God, in the midst of a lot of chaos and confusion, much stress and anxiety, we come to worship you. Help us to quiet other voices in these moments so that we might hear you speaking to us. Bind us together across the distance that separates through the gift of technology and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And grant your peace to our frantic minds, our weary bodies, and our restless spirits. Come, Spirit, come and be with us. Amen. Our scripture reading today will sound familiar because we are picking up in the story that we read last week in Matthew 14. Early in the morning, Jesus came walking toward them on the sea, but when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last week, we stopped this story mid-action in that moment where Jesus approaches the boat. And I talked about the promise that God is with us in the storm. In fact, you may be getting some noise from a rainstorm that's happening as we record even now. My plan last week was to just skip the Peter part of the story, the second half. But as it happens, the story stayed on my mind and I kept thinking about Peter and about his friends in the boat. We forget about them, those disciples left back in the boat, because Peter grabs all the attention in this story. If it were a movie, he'd be the co-star alongside Jesus, and the camera would follow him as he springs up in the boat and spots Jesus in the darkness, as he makes his skeptical request, "If it's really you, Jesus, ask me to walk to you on the water." As Jesus sort of reluctantly says, "All right, come." As Peter steps out of the boat and into the waves, walking toward Jesus, maybe then in our movie, there would be a reverse shot of Jesus' compassionate face with kind of a knowing twinkle in his eye, I'm thinking. You see, Jesus was ready with that helping hand. Matthew uses the word immediately. And so Jesus must have known how this was going to go, that Peter would falter and lose his confidence, begin to sink. When those two climb back into the boat and the wind dies down, and they have rejoined the disciples who we had almost forgotten about because they were off screen, this is the moment of the movie where there would be a climactic line. And any director would give that line to Peter, who has been the focus. But, and this is the thing that captured me this week and why we're returning to the same passage for a second Sunday, it's not Peter who makes the radical, bold proclamation about Jesus. "Truly, you are the Son of God." It's the other disciples who say those crucial words. The Message interprets this verse this way: the disciples in the boat, having watched the whole thing, worshiped Jesus, saying, "This is it, you are God's Son for sure." You see, something about this moment has convinced these disciples of Jesus' identity. Not just his physical identity, recognizing his face now that he's come close enough to see, but his spiritual identity, who he really is, recognizing him as the Christ, the Son of God, the promised one. And now they truly see Jesus, the one who has come among us full of grace and truth, the very presence of the divine. And this is what they declare: "Truly, you are the Son of God." I could have preached the traditional sermon on this text, focusing on Peter and what it means to step out and take risks in our faith, all the while turning our eyes upon Jesus, so that we do not get overwhelmed by fear or rattled by circumstance. And that's a good sermon, but I think it might be a sermon for another time. In this time of pandemic and isolation and sheltering in place, it seems ill-timed and even dangerous for me to preach a sermon to you on stepping out, especially with Peter as the example, given how impulsive and heedless and skeptical and ultimately unsuccessful he was. Instead, today I'd rather us focus on those disciples. Over these months apart, several of you have mentioned to me that among the many emotions of this time, one that you feel is guilt. a feeling that you are not doing enough, either in general because of your age or physical ability or inability to drive anymore, or because of isolation, you can't or don't want to get out and you feel bad about not getting out there and serving in some active way, or because you're busy, you're overwhelmed, and you don't have time or energy left at the end of the day after working from home and taking care of kids and worrying about school. The disciples in our story this morning remind us that it is possible to be deeply faithful while you are in the boat. They didn't need to go running impulsively into the sea. They didn't need to test or challenge the limits. They trusted that Jesus would come to them. And in some ways, that's a deeper kind of faith than Peter showed by trying to walk on those waves. Those disciples found a way to worship, to proclaim Christ right there in the boat. And so today, I want to assure you, first of all, that staying home right now is enough, and it is an act of faithfulness in and of itself. You may feel like you're doing nothing, but it's doing something really important and really faithful. We serve a God who created and who loves human beings and who desires health and wholeness for all the created ones. And so anything we do to protect the bodies that we have been gifted and the bodies of others is faithfulness and is mission and is service in the example of Jesus Christ. And so that's important to remember, especially when those feelings of guilt or anxiety or uselessness creep in. And then the second thing I want to lift up is that, of course, there are plenty of ways to be faithful and to be serving and to be proclaiming Christ from in the boat, as it were, while you're at home. This is sort of what I've been trying to communicate through my little tagline that I've been using since the very beginning of this COVID time at home: stay in, stay in touch, and stay generous. There's so many ways that we can engage even while we are apart. You can call, text, email, write to someone to check in, to let them know you care, and to make sure people are staying connected. If you're not sure who to call or write, let me know. I'd be happy to partner you up with someone or give you a name of someone I think would benefit from hearing from a friendly face. Our church committees are still at work and welcome your participation and your involvement. We're still looking for some pen pal prayer partners for our kids. And all of these ways that you stay in touch and reach out to one another and to your other friends and neighbors and family members, all of that is a gift. All of that is a ministry. And it can be done from right where you are, right in your boat. And as for staying generous, you can continue to send notes to the hospital to support our healthcare workers. You can call or write your local, state, or national elected officials advocating for things like voting rights and justice for all and mask mandates and economic relief. You can work on relationships in your life, reviving a friendship, letting go of a grudge, making that long overdue phone call or apology, working on your marriage, reaching out to the person you've been estranged from. You can work on yourself during this time, taking up a new habit or hobby or giving up a bad habit or an addiction that is harmful to you. You can review your resources and see if you can dig deeper and be even more giving. And you can tend to your spirit and to your God and be strengthened for service and mission and ministry and compassion by praying and reading scripture, and spending time in silence or in nature, and by really practicing being open to the ways God is speaking, sometimes in the most unlikely ways. The irony, of course, is that all of these actions of service and kindness and generosity, all of our engagement with one another and with God, does require us to step out. Not physically out of our houses, but out of our comfort zones, out of our routines and old patterns of thinking, out of feelings such as guilt, out of our own self-involvement. It takes courage and boldness, even more than Peter was able to muster out there on the waves. But when we do these things, when we are generous, when we give second chances, when we advocate for justice, when we care for one another, when we participate in mission, every single bit of that is a way of joining the disciples in the boat as they confess that Jesus truly is the Son of God. All honor and glory to him now and forever. Amen. My friends, our giving is a response, a way of confessing Jesus Christ as Lord of our entire lives, our time, our talent, our heart, our mind, and yes, our purses and wallets as well. You can give to Stockbridge Presbyterian Church through our online giving portal, which we are assured is still secure, or by check through the mail, and every gift is appreciated. We continue in mission and ministry together. Thanks be to the God who has blessed us so richly. And as an expression of that gratitude, let us sing together the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, we come to you in gratitude and faith, and yet we come to you aching and knowing that so many people are hurting right now. There seems no end in sight to the uncertainty and the pain of this season. Parents and caregivers are worried about children's well-being as the school year approaches or begins and the pandemic persists. Those living in group care facilities yearn to be able to have visitors again, and the loneliness of those already isolated continues to grow. The economic fallout from this virus gets deeper and wider as many scramble to find work and keep the lights on and put food on the table. We see your precious children suffering from disaster and deceit, apathy and atrocity, poverty and prejudice. We see brokenness all around us, in our families, communities, nation, and churches. We confess that it feels at times as if we call out to you and you do not respond. But we call out to you now, Lord Christ. Have mercy on us. Hear our cries. Help us. We call out on behalf of the sick and the hurt and those who care for them, the dying and those who grieve, especially those who do so alone, the hungry, the poor, and those who are most vulnerable, the long oppressed and those still waiting for justice, the anxious and those who feel most alone, and ourselves, trusting that you know our deepest needs, even if we do not have the wisdom or courage to name them. Hear us now as we hold before you in silence or out loud in our own spaces our specific concerns and the particular ways we need your grace. Hear us, Lord. Heal us, Lord. Help us, Lord. And when we fear that you have walked away from us in our desperation, send your Holy Spirit once again to remind us of your love and grace, which are unending and never fail us. Grant us faith to persist in proclaiming and serving you, no matter how long it takes for our world to be made well. Be our vision. And keep us focused on our Savior, your Son, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I charge you now, my friends, as I always do, to go forth from this time of worship to love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember that you can serve and proclaim Christ from wherever you are, and I invite you to be open to the opportunities that God is laying before you even now. And as you go about that good work, know that you do not ever go alone, for our good and gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is with us now and promises to abide with us forever. Knowing this, my friends, be at peace. Amen.